طيب، بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today, alhamdulillah, this is our 20th session, and our second session for review, as we started last week, alhamdulillah, after finishing the book, started our review last week. And last week in our review, we covered a number of points, including the rules related to sukoon and the rules related to shadda and alif maddiya, yani the long vowel, the extension of fatha by alif. And we also talked about tanween with two dhammas, dhammatain, and ya al-maddiya and waw al-maddiya. So we covered the long vowels and short vowels and sukoon and shadda. And we began to talk about tanween. So today, inshallah, we're going to continue where we left off. We finished at lesson 13. The last lesson that we did last week was lesson 13. And today, inshallah, we'll start with lesson 14, which deals with Hamza. And then special rule related to Hamza. When it has fatha followed by alif, tanween with kasra, and two diphthongs, fatha followed by ya with sukoon, fatha followed by waw with sukoon, and ta marbuta. Inshallah, this is what we're going to try to cover today in the next 10 lessons or so of review. So we're going to start today with lesson number 14, but before that, a couple of things. Number one, just want to remind everybody that in these last few weeks before Ramadan, it's very important that we try to be in attendance so that we can, together, we can go through the rules and things that we covered in the past and try to have a good review together, inshallah. At the same time, it's important that from one class to the next, in between, that you do your personal review individually. Assalamu alaikum, akhi. How you doing, brother? Alhamdulillah. Good to see you. Alhamdulillah. Walaikum salam. It's important that you try to do our little 15, 20 minutes to half an hour every day. It's very, very important that you read as much as you can so that you improve your reading ability to recognize the letters in different positions, beginning, middle, and end, the vowels, long vowels, short vowels, diphthongs, and so that you improve your pronunciation of the letters, especially the letters that we don't have those sounds in English, especially those letters that we are not familiar with in English. The more you read, the more you practice, inshallah, the better it will become. So, hopefully, before Ramadan starts, we will have completed our review or come close to completing it. And then inshallah in Ramadan, hopefully we will have some kind of session for continuous review during Ramadan before we go into book number one of the Medina course. Today inshallah also, if somebody will remind me, we will take the next surah that we want to practice reading, which is Surah An-Nasr. The 110th surah of the Quran, very beautiful surah, very meaningful, and not very difficult to recite, alhamdulillah. Short, and doesn't have a lot of difficult words in it. So inshallah, hopefully we'll do that today. And then the last thing is that what we want to start with, we'll start with the alphabet. Yeah, I want to apologize to the sisters for the absence of the screen to follow us on the board. Unfortunately, the problem with the screen is that actually something is broke, and the piece that's broke, it's not easy to be replaced. We need some specialists from the old school, when they used to wire stuff by hand, to take the back of the screen off and to rewire the back of it where the piece was broken from. And I haven't been able to find anybody to do that. So if somebody knows of anybody, we can't lose. I mean, it's not working. Khalas, it's finished. So if somebody can try to fix it, it's better than nothing. If they don't work, if it doesn't happen, we're not going to be any worse off than we are now. We don't have a screen. Okay, hopefully, inshallah, And in between now and Ramadan, I will get together and try to purchase a new screen. But in the meanwhile, what I'm going to try not to use the board. I'm going to try not to use the board. So we're all on even ground. And do the best I can not to use the board. Okay, so whatever we do, we're going to try to do it from the book so that everybody can follow with their book, inshallah. But if we can, if anybody knows of somebody who may be able to fix their screen, alhamdulillah, let's try at least. Let's not give up on it completely, although it doesn't look like we're going to be able to do it. Okay, so what we want to start with, we want to start with the alphabet. Just a quick review of the alphabet. And since we don't have a screen today, we will go to the back of the book on page 101. We'll go to the back of the book, page 101. And we want to go through the alphabet, the names of the letters and the sounds of the letters, pronouncing the first letter Aleph with a Hamza. Pronouncing the first letter Aleph with a Hamza. Okay, so we want somebody, one of the brothers, inshallah, a volunteer to give us a review of the alphabet quickly. Any volunteer, anybody who didn't do it or who would like to get another shot at it, if we don't have anybody who didn't do it, go to the alphabet. Just read the names of the letters or the sounds of the letters with Fatha. Okay, Jazakallah khair. Okay, again, sisters, please try to follow us on page 101, the alphabet, the Arabic alphabet chart.
Aleph.
Naam.
Naam.
Kha.
Kha.
Dal. Dal. Ra. Zay. Seen. Sheen.
Sod.
Sod.
Dod.
Dod.
Ta.
Ta.
Va.
Ain.
Ain.
Gain.
Gain.
Fa.
Fa.
Qaf.
Kaf.
Kaf.
Lam.
Lam.
Meem.
Noon.
Noon.
Ha.
Ha.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hamza.
Hamza. MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair. Alright. As I mentioned before, knowing the names of the letters is definitely a benefit. It's not essential. What is essential is that you know how to, that you recognize them and know how to pronounce them. But it's good to know the names of the letters because in our discussion, in our study and things, sometimes we refer to the letters by the names. So it's good to know the name of the letter. Keeping in mind that the sound of the letter and the name of the letter in most cases will be different. Okay? Like when we read a word, we're not going to pronounce the name Ayn. We're going to pronounce the sound of the letter Ayn. But it's good to know the names of the letters. And again, as a reminder, I said it so many times, but just again, the first letter of the alphabet, Aleph, is not a consonant. The first letter of the alphabet, it's a letter of the alphabet, it's not a consonant. It doesn't take a vowel by itself. Okay, it can extend the fatha vowel, making fatha long, and it can be used as a seat for hamza, in which case you would pronounce the hamza with its vowel. But as far as the aleph itself, it's not a consonant. You don't write a vowel with the aleph. Unless you are writing a word that begins with a sukoon, and therefore we're using hamzatul wasl, and that aleph is written as hamzatul wasl. It's written as a hamza, not as an aleph. Okay, it's hamzatul wasl, even though the hamza is not written because it's hamzatul wasl. But nonetheless, that's what it is. It's actually hamza. Okay, so you're pronouncing the vowel just as though there was a hamza there. Alright, so the first letter of the alphabet is aleph. After that, ba, ta, tha. Ta, we want to stop on ta, and keep in mind, the other letter further on down the line, the letter Ta. And of course, you know, the sisters just try to remember that the letter Ta comes near the middle of the alphabet. Okay? It's a group of letters there together. Sad, Dad, Ta, and Tha especially. And along with them is Ayn and Ghain, but especially those four. We have to be careful that we distinguish Ta from the beginning of the alphabet. Aleph, Ba, Ta, from the letter Ta. Ta. Like Ta'am. Mata'am. Okay, ta. Okay, after that is tha. And tha, we want to be careful that we distinguish tha from thal. ذال. Okay, ثا and ذال. ألف با تا ثا جيم حا خا دال ذال. ذال, the sound of ذال is from the same مخرج as the letter ثا. And in English, both of them are represented by TH, the same TH, but they're two different sounds. Okay, the TH in the letter, in the word this, is the sound of ذال. And the TH in the word thought, thought, is the sound of the letter ثا. So distinguish between these two letters. Okay, so you have ثا, then you have جيم, حا, خا. Kha. Kha is one of the letters that the sound of fatha change. Instead of a, you say kha. The same way you say sa, and ba, and ta, and va. Okay? But the normal sound of fatha should be a. But it changes with some of these letters. Okay? So you have kha, then you have dal, you have dal, you have ra. Ra. Ra is not pronounced like R in English. R in English is a heavy sound, like run. You don't say run, this kind of R. But rather, it's tapping the tip of the tongue to the roof of the mouth. Ra, 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 ra. Not ra, like lip sound in English. Ra, no. It's not from the lips, it's from the tongue. Ra, ra, ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim. Like this, okay? Ra, zay, or za. Either of these names are correct. You can call it zay, as it is here in our book, or za. Seen should be distinguished from sod. Okay, the letter seen and sheen. Seen should be distinguished from the letter sod, from the group of letters sod, bod, ta, and va. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Seen is pronounced sa. Sod is pronounced sa. Sa. Sa, sa. Sheen, sod, bod. Dod should be distinguished from dal. The letter dal is usually represented in English as a D. Dal. But this letter, dod, is also represented in English by the letter D. But the first one of them, dal, from the couple of letters, dal and thal, da is a light sound, regular A sound, da, da. And the other one is the A, the sound of fetta changes, ba, ba, da, ba. Okay, and then we have what? Ta, distinguished from ta, and we have va. This letter va from the same group, sa, da, ta, va, should be distinguished from the earlier letter that we had, dal and thal, thal. Thal and va are pronounced from the same makhraj. Thal and va, pronounced from the same makhraj. That is, the upper surface of the tip of the tongue touching the edges, the bottom of the upper two front incisors, upper two front teeth. The surface of the tip of the tongue touching the upper two front teeth. Va. Va, tha, tha, va. Both of them are from the same place, but tha is a light sound, va is a heavy sound, velarized. You have va, and you have ayn, which should be distinguished from hamza. Okay, the sound of hamza with fatha is a. The sound of ayn with fatha, a. A, a. A, a. Like you say, alim, alim. And you say, alim. Alim. Alim means knowledge, knowing, the one who knows. And alim means pain. So you have ayn, distinguished from hamza. Ghayn, which is a gargling sound from the throat. Fa, which is a lip letter from the lips. Fa. Qaf and kaf. Qaf and kaf are from the back of the tongue. The last letters on the back of the tongue. First, from the last letters, first comes kaf and the back of the tongue. And then at the end of the tongue comes the letter qaf. Okay, so qaf is the last letter of the tongue, and kaf is just before it. Both of them are at the back of the tongue, just before the throat. So you have qa, that's the last letter of the tongue, and before that you have ka. Qa, ka. It's very important to distinguish these two letters. A lot of times people pronounce qaf for kaf, or kaf for qaf. You have to say qa, ka, qa, ka. Okay, then we have lam, mim, noon. Ha, which should be distinguished from the earlier letter in the beginning of the alphabet, from jim, ha, and kha, the letter ha, from near the beginning of the alphabet, should be distinguished from the letter ha, at the end of the alphabet. Okay, this one at the end, ha, this is like in Surah Al-Ikhlas. Huwa, qul huwa, Allahu, Allahu. That's the letter ha near the end of the alphabet. And the other ha is like ahad. Qul huwa Allahu, ahad, Ahmed, Mahmood, Muhammad, Alhamdu, Alhamdu. Naam, that's the first one, ha. And this one is the light sound, ha, huwa, Allahu. Okay, then we have waw, and we have ya, and we have hamza. Hamza is a separate letter from alif. Hamza and alif are two different letters. The difference between them is that hamza is a consonant that can take a vowel. And aleph is a letter, not a consonant, does not take a vowel. Okay? Aleph and hamza are associated, and that sometimes aleph is used as a seat for hamza. Just as waw is used as a seat for hamza. And ya is used as a seat for hamza. But these are all separate letters. Separate letters. Waw and ya, like hamza, are consonants. Aleph is not a consonant. It's elongation of fatha or seat for hamza. It's not a consonant. Okay, that's what we want to say about the alphabet. And inshallah, we'll go back to where we left off at in the beginning. Last week, we left off at lesson number 14. Okay, but before 14, I just want to remind us. Last week, we covered sukoon. Sukoon, right? And what do we say about sukoon? What is sukoon? How does it work? What do we know about sukoon? Quickly, sukoon. Tell me something about sukoon. Naam.
It's like not necessarily pronounced as a vowel, but just the letter itself.
Okay, it's the letter without a vowel. Naam. Tell me, somebody else tell me about sukoon. Naam. It's a letter without a vowel. Naam. Okay, syllable. You could use the word syllable, yeah? Okay, it will be connected to the previous letter as one syllable. Yes, now. Okay, connecting. Connecting that letter to the letter before. Now, anything else? Okay, what we want to say about sukoon? Sukoon literally means the absence of a vowel. That's what it actually represents. The absence of a vowel. It means if a letter, a consonant has sukoon, that sukoon is telling you that letter is to be pronounced without a vowel. And the only way to do that is to connect it to the letter before it. So you join it with the letter before it as one syllable. So if you have ba, fatta, ta, then you're going to say as one syllable, bat. But if ta had a vowel, like fatta, for example, you would say ba, that's one syllable, ta, that's the second syllable. Okay, like you say ka, ta, ba. But if the second letter, kaf, had a sukoon, instead of saying ka, ta, I mean, if the second letter, ta, had a sukoon, instead of saying ka, ta, ba, you would say ket, ba. It would only be two syllables. Because that letter with sukoon is joined to the letter before, so it becomes one syllable. Okay? So that's sukoon. Represents the absence of a vowel. In reading, how you practically apply it is that you join it to the letter before it and make it them into one syllable. Okay, shadda. Shadda is related to sukoon. In that shadda, what do we know about shadda? Tell me something about it. Anybody? Now. Consonant. Shadda doubles the consonant. Okay, it means that there are two letters of the same type. The same letter repeated twice back to back. And with the condition that one of them has to have what? Sukoon. Which one? The first one. First one must have sukoon. Shadda means you have two letters, the same letter repeated twice, but the first one must have sukoon. If the first one has a vowel and the second one has sukoon, you can't use shadda. You have to write both of them. But if the first one has a sukoon, then you don't have to write it twice. You write it one time and put a shadda. That means that letter is repeated twice, the first one having sukoon, and the second one having the vowel that is written with the shadda, whether it's fatha, kasra, or dhamma, okay? So shadda means a double consonant. That means you have to emphasize that letter and you pronounce it as though it's two of them. It actually represents that letter being repeated twice. Okay, also we had the long vowels. Fatta is elongated by what letter? Aleph. Kesra is elongated by what letter? Ya. And Dhamma is elongated by what letter? Wow. Okay, so we had the long vowels. And we had Shaddan, we had Sukun. And I don't know, did we have any other rule last week? Sukun, Shadda, Aleph, Maddi, and long vowels. And we had Tanween. Okay, that's the last thing that we had. Tanween. We had Dhammatain. Okay, Tanween means what? Tell me something about Tanween. Who knows about Tanween? Tell me something. Naam, Ibrahim.
It's written on the end of nouns.
Okay.
It's
written on the end of nouns. And it usually indicates that that word, that noun is indefinite. Usually. Not absolutely in every case, but that's the general meaning of it. Tanween represents something is indefinite, as opposed to alif lam, means that the word is definite. Okay, so in grammar, tanween usually represents something is indefinite. It's always written at the end of a word. And it's written as what? A double vowel. Two dhammas, two kasras, or two fathas. Now, one more thing, go ahead. Now, it makes the sound of N. Okay, tanween means that you pronounce that vowel not twice, even though the vowel is doubled, but you don't pronounce it twice. It means you pronounce that vowel as though it has an N, a noon, with it. So if it's two dhammas, you pronounce it as though it's U-N. If it's two kasras, you pronounce it as though it's I-N. If it's two fathas, you pronounce it as though it's A-N. And we also had in the special rules at the end of the book, reference to tanween, when it's two fathas, it's always followed by alif. Unless the word ends with tarmabuta, or it ends with hamza preceded by alif. That's the rule that we had in the end of the book. Naam. You have something?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, this is tanween. The only thing about tanween that we had at the end of the book that I just want to remind you of here, before we get back to it again, near the end, is that whenever you have two fathas, then you pronounce it as A-N if you continue reading. But if you stop on it, you pronounce it, as Fatta Aleph. That Aleph written after the Tanween is to remind you that if you stop or pause, you pronounce it as though that Aleph is elongating the Fatta of the Tanween. Okay? So you pronounce it as instead of N. If you stop, you pronounce it If you read, continue, you say N. Alright, so that's what we covered last week. today we're going to start with lesson number 14. And we're going to do the same thing we did last week. That is, we're going to read it first together as a group. Okay, you repeat after me. And then we're going to go through each exercise, everybody reading one of the words. Okay, only thing I want to say here is that this lesson 14 is dealing with Hamza. And Hamza phonetically is a glottal stop. And it can be written above or below the letter Aleph, Waw, or Ya. And it also can be written independently without a seat. Hamza can be written without a seat. It doesn't matter if it's written on top of Aleph, as it is in this lesson here, or if it's written on top of Waw, as we will see in a later lesson, or if it's written on top of Ya, as we will also see in a later lesson. It doesn't matter what the seat is for the Hamza. But rather, what is important is that we pronounce the Hamza according to its vowel, no matter what the seed is. It will be pronounced exactly the same if the seed is Aleph, or Waw, or Ya, or no seed. It will be pronounced according to its vowel. It doesn't matter what the seed is. We act like the seed is not there, and we just pronounce that letter the way we see it with its vowel. Walaikum salam. Okay, so we're going to do Hamza. We're going to do Hamza. Lesson number 14, page 29. Lesson number 14, page 29. If he wants to pray, probably it's better to pray in the front, so we won't be a big distraction to him. Now, okay. lesson 14, page 29, first line. M. N.
N.
In.
In.
Anna.
Anna.
With Shadda. Anna.
Inna.
Line 2. Imma. Shadda on the meem and the fatta is elongated by Aleph. Imma. Amma. Abun.
Akala.
Akaltu.
Akaltu.
Okay, this word has a sukun on the lamb. That means that lamb should be pronounced with the calf before it. Okay, as one syllable. So you have a, then you have kel, and two. Okay? Because of the sukun. Akel tu. Line 3. Aminun. Amanun. Aktubu. Again, we have a sukun on the calf, so that means we join the calf with the hamza with fatha before it. Aktubu. Akunu. Line number 4, page 30. Amutu. Analu. With no tanween. Analu.
Analu.
Abana.
Abana.
Uhinu.
Uhinu.
Line number 5. Ub.
Ub.
Abuhu.
Abuhu.
Okay, this next word, it should be written like meem with fatta. And the lamb aleph, the lamb should have fatta. And the aleph of the lamb aleph is written with a hamza and dhammatain. Yani a tanween of two dhammas. That symbol represents two dhammas on the last letter. So it should be meem fatta, lamb fatta, hamza dhammatain. Okay, so it should be read Mala'un.
Mala'un.
And the same thing with the next letter, Kaf Fatta, Lam Fatta, Hamza Dhammatain. Kala'un.
Kala'un.
Okay, line 6. Anta.
Anta.
This is a sukun on the noon, so it should be joined with the hamza with fatta. Anta.
Anta.
Anti.
Anti.
Antum.
Antum.
And these are all pronouns. Anta means you. You. If you're speaking to somebody, individual, masculine, you say anta, you. If you're speaking to a woman, single person, directly, anti also means you, feminine. And antum means plural. Any three or more people you're speaking to them. But this is plural masculine. Antum. Okay, all these are pronouns. Line 7. Naba'un.
Naba'un.
E.
E.
Imanun.
Imanun.
Ilamun.
Ilamun.
Okay, this last word is hamza with kasra. Followed by ya with a sukun. No sukun is written there, but it's no vowel, so we know it's sukun. So that means the kasra is being elongated by the ya. So you say e. Then you have lam aleph. That fatta should be actually written above the lam of the lam aleph. So it's lam fatta elongated by aleph. E la mun. Okay, last line, 8 on page 31. Is Dhamma, Hamza with Dhamma followed by Wow, that means the Dhamma is being elongated.
Ooh.
Next word, also elongation. Ominu. Long vowel, short vowel, short vowel. Ominu. Last word. Olimu. Okay, so this is Hamza when it's written on Aleph. And Hamza can also be written on Wow, as we said previously, or on Ya. Or it may be written without any seat. Lesson number 15 on page 32 is only showing us a writing convention. That is, that when you have a Hamza with Fatta, followed by an Aleph of elongation, Aleph Maddiya, instead of writing the Hamza on Aleph, with fatta, and then another aleph after it, you just write one aleph with this wiggly line above it, which represents, that line represents that this is a hamza with fatha that has been elongated. So instead of writing two alifs, one as a seat for the hamza and one as elongation of the fatha, instead of writing two alifs, you only write one. So whenever you see this alif written with this wiggly line above it, it just means that this represents a hamza with fatha being elongated by an alif. So instead of writing two alifs, you just write one. Okay, so it's pronounced just as a hamza with fatha being elongated. Ah. Instead of ah, you say ah. Okay? So that's what this lesson is just showing you, that this is how you write a hamza with fatha. If it's followed by an alif, instead of writing two alifs, you just write one. Okay? Lesson number 15, page 32, line number 1. Ana. Ala. Amana. Akulu. Ma'alun. This mim fatha, alif with the elongation. That means that's a hamza with fatha elongated by alif. Okay? Then lam with dhammatain, two dhammas. Ma'alun. Line 2. Ahi. Aba. Ameen. Amalun. That's two long vowels. Amalun. Alun. Line 3. Alu. Two long vowels. Alu. Anukun. Atuni. Three long vowels. Fatha being elongated, dhamma being elongated by waw, and kasra being elongated by ya. These are all three long vowels. Atuni. Amanna. Okay, it's a long vowel, short vowel, shadda and elongation. Shadda on the noon, elongating its fatha with alif. Amanna.
Amanna.
Hold the shadda on the noon. Amanna.
Amanna.
Ati.
Ati.
Tayyib. Lesson number 16 is dealing with the kasratain. Yani, when you have kasra, doubled at the end of a word, tanween with kasra. Okay? And it just means that you pronounce that kasra as though there's a noon after it. You pronounce the kasra as though there's a noon after it. The same way we did with dhamma. When it's doubled, you pronounce the dhamma as though there's a noon after it. Same thing here. Okay, lesson 16, page 33. Note that at the top of the page, before the first line, you have meme with kasra, and then you have meme with a double kasra. And the meme with kasra is pronounced me. And the meme with a double kasra is pronounced min. Min, with the sound of a noon at the end, after the vowel. Okay, line number one. Line number one, Jazakallah khair. Atin.
Ahin.
Balin.
Anin.
Bakin. Line number two. This word here is lam with kasra, kaf with dhamma, lam with shadda, two lambs, lam with shadda and tanween, kasratain. Okay, so it should be pronounced lam with kasra, li kullin, with a shadda on the lam. Li kullin. And they're showing you the next word in brackets, they're showing you in parentheses, they're showing you that this word could be written with the two kasras, the tanween kasra, could be written underneath the shadda in the same way that it can be written in the first way underneath the letter lam. Okay, so whenever you have a shadda, you can write the vowel of shadda underneath the shadda if it's a kasra, or underneath the letter itself. And the same thing with tanween, you can write it underneath the shadda, or you can write it underneath the letter itself. Whenever you have a shadda, if the vowel is underneath the shadda, even though it's above the letter, if it's underneath the shadda, that means it's kasra. Okay, so you can write it under the letter, or you can write it underneath the shadda. Okay, so the first word should be likullin. And the exact same word is following it, likullin. Bi amanin. And the next one, this is, begins with lam aleph. This is a lam aleph. The first letter lam has kesra. The aleph is a seat for hamza with fatta. Okay? The aleph of that lam aleph is a seat for hamza with a fatta. Li abin.
Li abin.
Line number 3. Abin.
Abin.
Banin.
Namin.
Min makanin. Tayyib. Line number 4. Page 34. Binaba'in. Okay, the tanween at the end is the tanween of Hamza that's written on top of the Aleph. The letter is Hamza, and its vowel is a double kasra, tanween, kasratain. Binaba'in. Ka'ummin. Lahin. Naam. Lesson number 17. There's no rules in this lesson. It's just the letter sheen. And the letter sheen is written almost the same way as the letter seen, except sheen has three nukta, three dots, and sheen doesn't have any nukta. Otherwise, these two letters are written exactly the same, except the dots, but the sound is different. The sound of seen, and this is the sound of sheen. This letter is from the middle of the tongue as it touches, approaches the roof of the mouth just above it. The letter sheen is from the letters from the middle of the tongue. Okay? Line number 1, page 35, lesson 17. Line 1. Mashin. Nabashun. Bashushun. Kabshun. Line 2. Shakin. Nasha'a. This next word is sheen with dhamma. Ba with shadda. And the vowel is written underneath the shadda. That means it's a kasra. That means it's a kasra. Shubbiha. Again, shubbiha. Bishimalin.
Bishimalin.
Naam. Line 3. Shamimtu.
Shamimtu.
Ashammu.
Ashammu.
Shamimum.
Shamimum.
Shalalun.
Shalalun.
Line 4. Page 36. This first word is sheen with fatta. Elongation. That means that's a hamza with fatta, elongated by aleph. Okay, it represents what? Hamza with fatta, that's elongated by aleph. Okay? Sha'abibu.
Sha'abibu.
Again, sha'abibu.
Sha'abibu.
Mushkilun.
Mushkilun.
Mashkulun.
Mashkulun.
Now, lesson 18, page 37. The letter Sin. Please be careful that you distinguish between Sin and Sheen. Practice writing, practice reading. This is the letter Sa. This letter also should be distinguished from the letter that's represented in English as a S also, which is the letter Sod. Okay, they don't look alike, but both of them are represented in English transliteration as S. This is the letter Sa. That other letter, Sa. This is Sa, okay? Line 1. Nasin.
Nasin.
M-C.
M-C.
Saminun.
Saminun.
Nasitu. Samumun. Sa'alna. The sukun on the lam means that you connect it to the letter before it, the hamza with fatta. Alright, so it should be sa'alna.
Sa'alna.
Nas'alu.
Nas'alu.
Without tanween. Nas'alu.
Nas'alu.
Nas'alu is a verb. Verbs don't take tanween. Verbs do not take tanween. Only nouns take tanween. Nas'alu. That means we are asking or we ask. Nas'alu. Masilun. Line 3. Again, we have the med after the first letter. Mim fatta med fatta alif fatta. Hamza fatta alif. Maasin.
Maasin.
Asasun.
Asasun.
Libasun.
Libasun.
Massa.
Massa.
Page 38. Line 4. No, that's masah with ha on the end. Massa mean yeah, it's similar, but it's a different word though. Actually, it's from this meme seen seen. That word is meme seen ha masaha. That's different. Yeah. Line 4. La misasa. Look at the book, look at the book, look at the book. Don't just repeat after me. Look at the book and look at what you're reading. La misasa.
La misasa.
Ma ansanihu.
Ma ansanihu.
Okay, this one here is a little bit tricky. It's a very unusual word from the Quran. And that is because the last letter of this word is the pronoun who. And whenever the pronoun who, or the plural of it, whom, is preceded by kasra or ya, it's pronounced with kasra. Normally in Arabic language. Normally, that letter, the last letter who, would be changed to the pronunciation of he. It wouldn't be written with dhamma, it would be written with kasra. Okay, and you see that in Arabic and in the Quran, that the pronoun who and the pronoun whom, whenever it's preceded by kasra or ya with sukun, you pronounce, that's why you say, alayhim. Originally it's ala hum. But because of the ya before the hum, you pronounce it, you say alayhim. Like the prophets, alayhim, alayhim as-salam. Originally it's ala hum. But because of the ya before the hum, it's written alayhim. Or you say, alayhi salatu wassalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alayhi is originally ala hu. But because of the ya was sukun before the hu, they write it with a kasra. So they say, alayhi. Alayhi salam. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Okay? But there's a few constructions in the Quran where this rule is not applied. And this is one of them. Even though it's preceded by kasra ya, the hu is remain as hu. And this came in the Quran in more than one place, but it's very, very rare. So just make a note of that. That if you know that rule, you might think it's a mistake in the Quran. It's not a mistake. That's the way it is, okay? So this word should be ma, which is negation, and sa ni, and sa ni hu, ma and sa ni hu, ma and sa ni hu, okay? Ma and sa ni hu. Say it. Ma and sa ni hu. Naam. Line 5. Sababun. Sa'amshi. Line 6. Sanashku. Sanashku. Sabilun. Tayyib. The next lesson deals with diphthongs. We didn't talk about diphthongs last week. Okay, so just as a quick review, we should remember that the rule, the correct rule concerning the diphthong is that whenever you have a fatha, it's followed by a ya with sukoon. Okay, pay attention to this because this can be confusing for some people. Fatha. Fatha is normally elongated by what? Aleph, right? And ya normally elongates kasra. So now we have a mixture between two different vowel sounds. We have fatha not being elongated by aleph. And we have a ya that's not elongating a kasra. So we have the sound of fatha, that's one vowel sound. And we have the sound of ya, which is a different vowel sound. So this is a combination of two different vowel sounds, making a new sound. And the sound of it is not I, as you might imagine from if you read the note underneath the head of this chapter. It's not I. The sound of it is A, like the name of the first letter of the English alphabet, A. Okay, so if you have Mim Fatta Ya, it's May. Okay, not My, May. Okay, please pay attention to that. Okay, so on the top of the page you have Mim Kesra Ya, which is elongation of Kesra, Me. Then you have Mim Fatta Ya with sukun, which is a double vowel combination diphthong, which is pronounced May. Like in Laylatul Qadr. You don't say Laylatul Qadr, you say Laylatul Qadr. That's Lam, Fatta, Ya with sukun, Lam. Lay. Huh? Lay. So ignore this note that says AI is pronounced like I in time, or I in fine, and Y in my, and Y in sky. It's incorrect. It's pronounced A. Okay? So pay attention to that. A. Okay, line number 1, lesson 19, page 39. Kaf fatta ya sukun, K. Lam fatta ya sukun, lay. Lam kasra, kaf fatta ya sukun, lam fatta alif. Likayla. Ba fatta ya sukun, ta dhammatain. Baytun. This is not pronounced baytun. It's pronounced baytun. Naam. Well, it's not really elongation, but there are two vowel sounds, so that means there are two counts. There are two counts because it's two vowel sounds. So even if there was fatta aleph, there would be two counts, right? If there was kasra ya, there would be two counts. If there was dhamma waw, there would be two counts. So here's fatta ya, that's two counts. Okay, it's not elongation, but the sound is long because it's two vowel sounds which represent two counts of sound. Naam. And of course, you know, I always exaggerate, right? The sounds to make sure you hear it clearly, okay? But you don't have to say, for example, K, long like that. But I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it is two counts. It's K, it's Ka and Ya. Kai, Kai. Okay? Okay, line number 2. Banaytu. Mashayna. Laylun. Suhailun. Line 3. Abaiti. Baina. Bakaytum. Sulaymanu. With no tanween. Because Sulaiman is a proper noun. That's from a foreign name. It's not Arabic originally. Even though it's in the Quran, it's not from Arabic language originally. And proper nouns, masculine proper nouns that are not from Arabic, do not take tanween. As we will learn in book one. In next course, inshallah. Taib. Page 40. Lesson number 20. And again, this is a diphthong lesson. Okay? And at the top of the page, you will see that you have Mim Dhamma Waw, which is elongation of the Dhamma. Moo. And then you have Mim Fatha Waw with Sukoon, which is not elongation, but it's two different vowel sounds. A combination of two different vowel sounds. And it's pronounced Mau. A. Fatha. Waw. Au. Mau. Okay, and here you have to pay attention because what? When you see the mim or ba or ta or lam or any letter followed by waw, you might assume that it's elongation of dhamma. So you have to pay attention. If the vowel before it is dhamma, it's elongation. If the vowel before it is fatha, it's a diphthong. Okay, lesson 20, page 40, line number 1. Maulana.
Maulana.
Launun. Kaunun. Shakautu. Line 2. Haulun. Baulun. Kaukabun. Laulabun. Line 3. Shaukun. Mautun. Naumun. Saumun. Page 41, line 4. Mausimun. Lau. Laula. Au. And then they're just comparing the chart on the bottom of, underneath line 4. They're showing you the difference between the ya, when it's elongation of kasra, me, and the ya, when it is a diphthong sound, may. And the same thing, they're showing you the waw when it's elongation of dhamma, mu, and waw when it's a diphthong sound, following a fatha, mau. Okay, the next lesson is ta marbuta, and we had a lot of discussion about this particular letter, ta marbuta. They say here that this is called the round ta. Round ta because it's written in the round form of the letter ha. The letter ha at the end of the alphabet. Ha, waw, ya, hamza. Okay, it's written in the round form as opposed to the other ta which is open. Okay, this is called round ta and sometimes it's called closed ta because the other ta is open and this one is closed. The actual name of it is ta marbuta. And marbuta means something that is tied or closed. Okay, so it's the ta that is tied together or closed. The round ta or ta marbuta occurs only at the end of a word. Note that ha has no dots while ta marbuta has two dots. In other words, the letter ha is written the same way as the letter Tarmabuta, because Tarmabuta is a combination of the letter Ha at the end of the alphabet and the letter Ta. So it has the form of the letter Ha and it has the dots of the letter Ta. And therefore this letter is a letter, though it's not mentioned here, but we talked about it when we went over this lesson. It's a letter that has two ways to be pronounced. Sometimes it's pronounced like Ha, where it takes its form from. And sometimes it's pronounced like the letter Ta, which it takes the two dots from. Okay? If you read continually without a stop or a pause, you pronounce it like ta. But if you stop on it, then you pronounce it like ha, without its vowel. Okay? Dharmabhuta can only be at the end of a word. It can't be in the beginning or middle. And Dharmabhuta is always preceded by Fatta or Fatta Aleph. It's never preceded by Kasra or Dhamma. Okay? Anytime you see a Dharmabhuta, the vowel before it is always going to be Fatta or Fatta Aleph. Always at the end of a word. If you add a suffix to a word that ends with Dharmabhuta, then you change it from Dharmabhuta to the regular ta, ta maftuha. Tayyib. We're going to read it in continual mode, as though we are continual reading. So that means we're going to pronounce it as a ta. And then after that, we're going to read it in the pause mode. That is, as a ha. But the first way, we're going to read it as ta. Okay, page 42, lesson 21. Line 1. Mahatun. Okay, that's the continual mode. Pause mode, you pronounce it Maha. As though it's a ha on the end with no vowel. Don't pronounce the vowel. When you stop on a word with Dharmabhuta, you don't pronounce its vowels. Okay, so you're going to pronounce it as though it's an H on the end. You're going to say Maha. Maha. Okay, second word, continual mode, mushatun. Pause mode, musha. Third word, sanatun. Pause mode, sana. Fourth word, mekkatu. With no tanween, mekkatu. Pause mode, mekka. That's the way we normally pronounce it, right? Mecca. Mecca. Naam. Last word. Bibekkata. Pause mode. Bibekka. Line 2. Continual mode. Taubatun. Pause mode. Tauba. Sunnatun. Sunna. Shaukatun. Shauka. Laylatun. Layla. Shimatun. Shima. Muhlat. Line 3. Muhlatun. Muhla. Mautatun. Mauta. Alatun. Ala. Baitutatun. Baituta. Shaulatun. Shaula. Taib. And that on page 43 is showing the difference between the letter ha and the letter ta marbuta. That has the two dots that distinguish it from the letter ha. Ha and ta. Okay, we're going to stop here on page 43. Inshallah, in the next class, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to start. If somebody remind us, we're going to start on lesson 22 with the letter fa next class, inshallah.